Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man recently employed back on the line.
Yeah,
back on the line, Jack Barry, the captain. Jack, it's good to be with you. Happy New Year. Happy back as an employed man, all the things.
It's a good day.
Yeah. It was fun. It was not too bad. It was pretty chill. I mean, plus on top of it, I'm working on Eastern Standard Time hours. So yeah, I got to get up at like 6, but I'm off work by like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Pacific Standard Time.
I mean, that's not bad at all, man. That's blue collar hours right there, man.
I know, right?
That's nice. That's nice. Also, I don't know what's happening with our camera situation right now, but I feel like I'm lower than normal. Do I look lower than normal
I don't know.
I feel short. I mean, I am short. I feel short recording this, which I feel like I shouldn't have to feel like that, but you know what? It's okay. It is what it is. But yeah, good to be with you, man. Got fun stuff to talk about today. Got listener requests and stuff to talk about today, which is always enjoyable and always fun. Making the Anons mad over on the Twitter, my friend.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Making them mad. I basically compared Anon accounts to those people that church hop because, you know, the churches are quote unquote compromised, but it's really they just don't want to be held accountable. And strangely enough, you know, who is I would say coming against me the hardest on that post.
Who?
It's the Anons.
Mark Driscoll? Like
yeah,
who?
It would be the Anons. Okay. Strangely enough. Yeah. Yeah. Strangely enough. You know what? Yeah. Just shows I'm right. Yeah. Anyway, Jack, we got stuff to do, my friend. We got feathers to ruffle, jimmies to rustle,
gummy worms to stir,
all those good things. But it would not be a reformatory episode without our best segment, probably the best segment that we've ever done on this podcast. And yes, that is
constructed or thought up of. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your host, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. And remember, kids, not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works. I feel like I got to sit up. I feel like I've got to, like, there. That didn't help. That didn't help at all. That's okay. You know what? I'm gonna not be so self-conscious. Anyway, Jack, we've got some funny ones for you today.
Oh boy.
This first one, dude, I don't really have a context for this. I'm just gonna play it for you.
Oh gosh.
And we'll just laugh about it together. I don't know. It came across the feed and it made me laugh. And I thought, you know what?
not every Instagram needs a point, right? We don't, it doesn't need to have some serious point every single time. Sometimes we can just have some to laugh, and that's what this one is. There you go.
To help you experience God's presence in your life in a very real way. Calvary Tabernacle is committed to reaching, connecting, and discipling the city of Indianapolis. We're thankful again that you joined us. We're going to have a baptism, so if you're able, stick around for that. What? We hope that you have a blessed week and that this power that you've experienced here tonight in this service goes with you on through your life. God's blessings in Jesus' name. Be blessed.
Looks like some rejected Charlie Brown dance from Charlie Brown Christmas.
So for those that are listening and not watching, well, first off, we have like this like NFL sideline like reporter. It's like, do mega churches have reporters now?
Dude, I don't know.
I feel like he's a mega church sideline reporter. Like they're up in the booth. Like, well, that was a really good sermon from Pastor Dave today. We've actually got some action down on the field. Down to you, Chris. And this guy pops up. Right. But in the, as this guy is delivering like this, you know, sideline commentary for what looks like ESPN, you have in the balcony that's behind the guy talking. It's an empty balcony.
Dude, he's like moshing
one,
or something.
One dude.
It's like self-moshing. Who's up there
just absolutely having the time of his life.
Dude.
The Holy Spirit is obviously hitting this guy just right that turned him into
some forgotten Charlie Brown dance.
A Charlie Brown character. He is up there just
losing it.
Dude.
Here tonight in this service goes with you on through your life. God's blessings in Jesus' name.
Gosh. Dude, that's so great. I love that.
It's like the most hardcore Harlem Shake I've ever seen.
Dude, he's having a good time. Dude, he's having a great time. All right. Wow. We're gonna head on to our next one here. This one was hard to get through. And I'm gonna play it for you right now. Here you go,
buddy. Oh, gosh.
Sometimes we feel distant from God, and that can be the scariest feeling. And it feels like so far away from God that it would be impossible to find our way back. What I want to remind you is that when you feel distant from God, it's you turning away. God is always here. God will always be here. No matter how far we feel, how much bad things we've done, God is always open, with open arms. And all we have to do, turn around.
Okay. Is this the furry ministry going on?
So we have gosh. Some sage advice.
Wow.
From a man in
dressed
a furry
as
costume.
A coyote with a Batman
with a vintage shirt on. Batman shirt. We've transcended, Jack, into furry Christendom.
Oh my
We now have furry evangelists on Instagram spreading the good word. Through their furry mask. I don't really have a commentary on this one that I can say probably on air. So I'm going to leave this. I'm going to leave this for you.
We'll do it for the podluck.
How about this for a segue? These are not the type of individuals that I would be comfortable with serving in children's ministry. How about that for a segue? Is that not bad?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
That's pretty good.
That's correct. That's a good segue.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I'll take it. It's not the best segue I've ever had, but you know, I'll take it. We are talking about children's church today, kids in church. This is a topic that we have covered before in the earlier days of Jack and I doing the Reformatory. But per our last episode, talking about the church's closing, right, for the last Sunday of the new year.
Yeah.
We actually got a couple messages from a couple different listeners, actually asking, not asking, but wanting us to talk about children in church, right? Because one of the main reasons that churches who did close give was to give their staff a break.
Yeah.
And often those staff definitely include individuals that are working, you know, in Sunday school, children's ministry, and things like that. That's usually where you need the most staffing because, you know, especially if you're a larger church, you're needing 2, 3, 4 people per classroom, bare minimum, right? Yeah. So that's a lot of people every Sunday to staff, right? Yeah. So that's where a lot of the staffing comes from in those instances. So it obviously brought up, well, one solution to that would be to just not have children's church, to not have Sunday school, right? Mm-hmm. And that be a solution to your quote-unquote staffing problems. And a couple of people reached out and asked our thoughts on that. And I did, you know, I threw them the past step that we did, but I, you know what? I thought it bared repeating because it is something that comes up often. And it is something that I think every church deals with in its own different ways. I know Jack and I even have different backgrounds, and how our churches do it is different. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worth talking about. So
yeah,
we're going to do that today, because I think that we can at least for our own positions provide some clarity on the positions that we hold and what our churches do. I'll start off by saying I don't think there is one right and biblical, you know, path. Yeah, right,
correct.
I have my preferences, of course, and we'll get into those later. But if your church has Sunday school, or if your church is family integrated, as they call it, where the kids are actually in service, right? I don't think one is right and biblical and the other is in sin, all right? We can't go that far because Scripture doesn't speak to that, right?
Yeah.
I think that there are pros and cons to both positions, and we can get into those a little bit. But Jack, I want to get ahead of that first. And be very careful not to obviously call out one as being biblical and one as being sin, as I see some do in this topic. Some will take it so far on one end and say, well, if you're not providing things for the children, then you're abdicating in your role, and that is sin.
Yeah.
And I see people on the other side saying, no, if you are giving up your role to lead your children to people in Sunday school, you're abdicating, and children should be in service. And if you're not doing that, then you're in sin. Both of those positions, I would say, are wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't think I don't think this is a sin issue here. I think it's a preference and a conscience issue, depending on the church. But wanted to get out ahead of that first before we get into what our preferences would be and where we come from. And I, you know, like I said, Jack and I come from different backgrounds and different places on this. And I think it provides some good balance. So Jack, I want to throw it over to you first. Children in service or Sunday school, where do you fall? And you have to pick one. Otherwise people will roast you. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, honestly, we do it in a way right now where it's kind of both.
Sure.
So we do it in a way where if we have, you know, 5 weeks, five Lord's days, on that fifth Lord's day, like we don't have, I think we only have a nursery, I think, and something else. So for more smaller kids, maybe. So yeah, I mean, you could do it a couple different ways. I think that it's important to say, like, this is where I think liberty of the conscience does come into play. So we talked about not canceling the Lord's Day service. I don't think that's not a liberty of conscience issue. that's a straight up, you should meet on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
Like stop trying to cancel your services because you want to run your church like a CEO business. Yeah. So, I mean, I think for this is always going to be hard, because I think one element to it is, you know, we want our kids to learn, and that's good. We want our kids to learn with their parents, and that's good. Or we want our kids to be contextually learning together with their friends from other members of our church, and that's good too. Mm-hmm. So I think we do it. I mean, my church does it in a way where, you know, if there's too many Lord's Day Sundays in a month, we'll kind of take the rest of those and say, hey, if your kids are not in nursery, or I think the other one is maybe K through second or K through first, I can't remember, pre-K through first, then they're going to be sitting in with us. And, you know, we try and equip parents for that time. And we've done it the last half year, we did it a few times. And I thought it was fine, to be quite honest. am I all for like, let's go full steam and just integrate everybody? I'm like, but I think it's the, balance that we have in that time that helps.
Mm-hmm.
That is a discipleship opportunity for parents as well too. So I think as many kind of cracks and reps as, you know, the whole church gets at that, I think it betters them. Now, I honestly can't pass judgment maybe on a church. I think you do. I think you guys do full integration. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I we have it a little different. So obviously I disagree with you and you're a heretic.
Sure.
Right. So like that's obviously where this podcast needs to go, right?
It's over, folks. It's six over, years folks. Of nothing. 6 years of nothing. Let's go.
Dang it. I knew it'd be it's the kids, man. They got us. Yeah. Yeah. But yes, yes, to answer your question, we do, we are integrated, family integrated at Redeemer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think both, I think it just depends what, I mean, we have enough facilities that we can do that with. Every church, maybe not be the size. I think it really comes down to liberty of a conscience when it comes down to leaders leading correctly.
Yes.
If you have a bigger church that is very younger family oriented, you're probably going to have a children's ministry. Plus, like I said, some hybrid times where those kids are sitting in with you. If you don't necessarily, if you have a smaller church, but you have families and you don't have a place in which you can do a ministry, if you don't want to do children's ministry, then you're going to go fit. You're going to go integration. Right. Mm. So I think part of it is, you know, and I think churches can change that over times too. I haven't heard of a church going from completely doing children's ministry, going into full family integration and the other way around before. But I'm sure there's probably case studies of this somewhere out there.
So Redeemer is one of them.
Okay.
Redeemer. And I agree with you. I think it's rare. I think we are kind of a white whale in that regard. But Redeemer, when they first started, they had, you know, full blown children's ministry, right?
Sure.
And, you know, this was before I was an elder there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how far up the ages went. I can't answer that, but yeah. I know it was more than just a nursery. Right. Okay. But then kind of through, you know, becoming 1689 and all that stuff. Right. They came to the family integrated, conviction. Right. Which is, I think, where I would fall personally. But again, I think that, you know, like Jack said, the conversation last week, we would not say leaves much room for nuance, right? We weren't a fan of the nuance police there. I think this conversation requires nuance because we aren't talking about a sin issue here. We're talking about things like Jack said very correctly. It's a liberty of conscience issue depending on your context and your convictions, right? So we got to remember that. And I do think that I know they're out there. I have seen many churches do the Sunday school thing very well. Mm-hmm. And it's not simply a daycare.
Yeah.
That's one of my critiques for a lot of Sunday school is it's just a way for mom and dad to, you know, put their kids off into a room for a little bit so that they can, you know, listen to the sermon and then they'll reconvene. The best children's ministries have at their core the equipping of the parents to lead the family well.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that you don't teach the kids, right? It's not that you don't put effort into your curriculum and you're making sure that the kids are hearing the gospel and learning about who Jesus is while they're under your care. But the best children's ministry understands that they are not and should not and cannot be the primary disciplers of those children. Mm. It has to be the parents, right? So a good children's ministry does much more equipping than it does babysitting.
Yeah.
We have to, not a lot of churches do that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my main critiques against, I don't even want to say against, but one of my main critiques with the children's church Sunday school model, right? Now, there's churches that are doing it really well, right? And there's churches that I think are doing that correctly.
I could say from my angle, so there was a time and period where I did serve in our children's ministry for the older kids, like for the third or fourth graders, fourth, fifth graders. I can't remember. It was on the, they were on the older side of things. Right.
Yeah.
And I could tell you that there were times in which we had really good conversations, that it was more of a time of, shoot, there were some homeschool kids who were learning Greek and I would throw a Greek word at them to write on the board.
Yeah.
And it'd be a good time of equipping that way. It would be a good time of asking questions, of asking their friends questions as well too about the faith or about a question that they might have. So I think it was a really good time. I could say from that time of what I saw, there was really a mentality of not just having kids being babysat, but really showing them the through line of the gospel and what that yeah. looked like.
Yep.
Yep. So when you have that going on in your children's ministry, I would say keep doing that. Don't just be the babysitters. Be it a way in which you're admonishing and teaching those kids that there is a big meta narrative of the Bible. It's sure. not only Jesus, but it's more than that sometimes. So yeah, I think that every time that I've taught or every time that I was in the older kids' class, I felt like it wasn't just a time where kids got to slack off and play with their friends. It was a time where they got to ask questions. They were being equipped. They were being taught scripture from, you know, story by story, I think most of it. And then kind of going from there. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
I mean, but yet again, that doesn't take away from what I think that some churches do when they do family integration. I don't think that's a lesser form of worship or even ways in which that you're trying to steward kids
sure.
and help them understand the gospel too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. So let's hop into kind of the family integration side and mm-hmm. how we do things at Redeemer. One thing that I want to say before I hop into why I prefer family integrated over Sunday school is even with the family integrated, I am in full support of a nursery. I think nurseries are so helpful for moms, especially when they have newborns, right? Sometimes a mom needs that place where she can go nurse, she can go change the baby, she can go take care of the kid. Having a space dedicated for that, I think is really, really helpful. And I do not think that that negates or somehow disqualifies a church from being family integrated. I know some people go that far and they'll say, well, I mean, if you leave the sanctuary, then you're not family integrated anymore.
Yeah.
I think these guys need to chill. They need to, you know, have some nuance, right? And understand that, you know what, we gotta provide a space here for moms to be able to do what they need to do during service, right? I do think that even in that, you should have some intentionality and some care for those moms. We should have obviously a space that's dedicated for them with everything that they need in it. But I also like pumping the sermon in there so they don't miss out.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
so many moms, especially in Reformed culture, right? Moms are usually the ones that are taking care of the crying kids,
yeah.
right, when they're getting fussy.
We have started to do that. I'm trying to think when we started to do that. I think it was last year, right around springtime.
Yeah.
I think it was shortly after the time that we just moved into the school building that we're at. And right. so,
yeah. But, yeah. 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 And I think that's really helpful. I think that's a way that a church can care for the moms in that situation is pump the sermon in there so that they're not missing out on the word being preached just because they're taking care of their kid. Right. I think that's important to do. So
I would also say this too.
Yeah. Okay.
If you are a church that does communion weekly, I have done this many a time. I have done this a few times and I've seen my other friends do this as well too, where if their wives are serving in the nursery, they will bring them communion.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there's stuff like that where you can have it integrated where they're not missing out on the normal means of grace there.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. So the way our church does it is we have a space dedicated for moms with young kids where they can go, right? and when it's time to take the Lord's Supper, everyone just comes out of the nursery. And again, that's going to be different depending on the context of your church and what your building looks like and all that stuff. But we do gather everyone together for that. The reason that I would say this, there's lots of reasons why I prefer and I'm convictionally family integrated when it comes to the Lord's Day service. But I'd say the main one for me is that I think there is so much value in having the kids in service for a number of things. One, and this is someone who is coming from someone who worked with kids a whole lot, right? Mm-hmm. I was a children's pastor for a while. Kids are a lot smarter than people think they are, and they are sponges, and they will pick up on things that you are like, where did you hear that, right? There has been many times where I have been amazed at what this kid, who I didn't think was listening at all, recalls from the service, recalls from the sermon, recalls from the songs being sung. And you're like, you got that in our Lord's Day service, and you're recalling that, right? I think that's wonderful. And I think that starts a lot earlier than a lot of folks think that it does. Okay. So I think that's valuable. Second, I think it's extremely valuable to the kids to see, even if you don't think that your kid is paying attention at all, right? They're on the floor with their coloring pages. You know, we provide stuff for kids to do during service. We provide them some colorings and some, like, you know, very, very dumbed down notes. Like, what did the pastor, talk about today? You know, things like that, right? Right. We provide those.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think your kid is listening at all, right? They're on the floor. They're coloring. They're messing with their brothers and sisters. Be encouraged, because I believe that repetition of the family gathering together as a unit on Sunday morning, on the Lord's Day, that pattern of behavior over and over and over again has such a benefit to the kids that they grow up knowing, even if they're not paying attention to the sermon, they grow up knowing and understanding, Sunday mornings are different. Sunday mornings, we're all here together.
Yeah.
It's not like school when I'm with my friends. It's not like, going to the park where I meet my friends and we color and have goldfish crackers and all this stuff, right? Yeah. Sunday morning, we are all together, and I see kids my age and I see old people and I see people my parents' age. I see my parents' friends, and we're all together doing the exact same thing. We're singing together. We're listening to this guy up front talk together. We're getting up. I see my parents get up and they go get this juice and this cracker, right? What's all that about? It starts to become a pattern and training the mind early to show those kids, the Lord's Day is different. Something about Sunday is different. Something about Sunday is important. Why do we make this a priority every single week? What makes this morning different than tomorrow morning or yesterday morning? I think you get that, like, distilled, like, into a shot that's just shot into your veins with family integrated service. I think that is possible with Sunday school. I think you can have a local church focus and things like that, right?
Yeah.
And parents, I think it requires, again, my opinion, but I think it requires a lot more diligence on the parent side to make that happen. But I just find family integrated to do that so naturally, and they grow up, I think, with a greater appreciation and understanding of the importance of the Lord's Day and how it's different. So that's my case for family integrated. Again, it's a conscience thing. I think you can do both well. I think you can do both poorly. I think there's a lot greater of a responsibility on the family integrated side for parents to parent their kids.
Yeah.
Right. And we love kids in service, right? I'm as a preacher, I've been doing it long enough where I'm not distracted by kids being kids, right? you know, the baby crying or the kids being fussy or, you know, mom having to get up or a dad having to get up to discipline or take care of their kid in the back. Right.
Yeah.
I don't get distracted by that anymore. However, I will say that if it is your conviction of a church as a church to have a family integrated service, part of that is discipling the parents to disciple their kids well.
Yeah.
Right. And that when your kid is getting fussy, let's show some respect for our brothers and sisters around us. And then the person that's up there preaching who spent a lot of time preparing that, let's show some respect and being quiet. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, there's grace here. There's nuance here, right? We're not going to call people out because of their fussy kid. Of course not. That would be unloving and weird. Okay. But I do think that there's more of an onus on the parents to be watchful and intentional with their kids in a family integrated service than obviously in a Sunday school where the kids aren't with their folks. Right. So there's pros and cons, and you can do both really well and you can do both poorly. If you are a family integrated church and that's your conviction, but the families, like, they don't parent, they just let their kids do whatever they want. And they don't, there's no structure there. There's no parenting there in the service. Yeah. That's going to be trouble.
Yeah,
and that's actually going to be really potentially distracting to whoever's preaching, as well as anybody that comes into your church that wants to join that church. Maybe they're not in that same stage of life. If they're having to constantly compete with trying to listen to what the pastor's saying versus the undisciplined kids around them, yeah, that's going to be a factor, right? Yeah. So things to consider, things to disciple through, and to not let be so awkward that it's not part of the conversation, because I think that's often what happens.
I will say this. When we were doing evidences of God's grace at our Christmas party this past December, one of our main couples who serves in kids ministry, and the husband serves kind of on security and the wife does more of the kids ministry stuff. They're a younger couple, kind of in their late 20s, early 30s, maybe. I can't remember.
Sure.
But he was saying, he's like, at my previous church, I always had to go to those parents constantly over and over again. Why is your kid doing this? Why is your kid doing this?
Yeah.
He goes, I've never had to come up to any of you in this room and tell you how to do and tell you how to parent.
That's nice. what a nice compliment.
It's like, thanks for making my job easy. So it's that's like, I think that's always a good sign. It's like, get a temperature check. Like, if you're going to do, if you're going to do kids ministry, like, I think part of it is getting a temperature check of your volunteers, having enough volunteers so that they don't burn out, having a good either director or group of leaders over that, whether it be deacons or maybe there's a family pastor who oversees the kids ministry as well too, if you do it that way, if you're structured that way as a church.
Yeah.
But make sure that you're like getting a barometer check on the parents as well too, because you're seeing actions from kids. Are those actions being learned at home, or are they rebelling, or what's going on there?
Sure.
Yep. And there's a way in which that you can love other members of your church by saying, are you guys having problems like parenting this kid? Like, I don't think that's out of line to say anything like that if you're in a kids ministry environment. But.
No, I think it's part of living in community. And if you're going to become a member of the local church, I do think that you open yourself up to that. Yep. Right. Now, I think it can be done poorly.
Oh yeah,
and I think we see it done poorly a lot. But I think you need to have some thick skin and some humility to be like, hey, you know, little Timmy over there just hit, you know, what's her face, and then he's laughing about it. We got to take care of this. You know,
you mean the independent pastor? Have you seen that clip where he's just calling out people right from the pew?
Oh, dude,
yeah, up there in the control room,
in the sound room,
making your own kingdom up there, with dude. Everybody.
Yeah. Oh, that's
like, what the heck, dude?
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, don't do it like that, right? but I do think, parents can often. This is just getting into a parenting app at this point. I think parents can often be pretty precious with their kids. Mm-hmm. Right. And I get it. It's your kids, right? You don't want your kids to be, fussy. You don't want them to be misbehaving, because I think often that people take that as a reflection on their parenting, right? And here's the thing. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, it depends on the situation, depends on the kid, right? Yeah. But I think we got to have some humility with these conversations. And I think that both of these systems, if that's what you want to call it, the Sunday school model or the family integration model, require humility on all parts and the understanding that we want what's best for each other.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes that means like, hey, you know, I noticed that, you know, you let your kid, you know, run around the sanctuary, you know, during service. Let's maybe, you know, work on, you know, not having that be a thing. Right. Sometimes it requires hard conversations, but we're part of the family of God and we want what's best for each other. And we should have mutual humility and respect to where those conversations can happen. And we shouldn't have anything in our life that's too precious to be able to be called out. Right. Yeah. And I think you get that a lot when you start bringing people's kids into the conversation. So that's where grace and humility and nuance is really important in these conversations. But, so there's a couple different models for you, and every church is going to do it different, and every church is going to do it, you know, better or worse depending on how the structure is. But yeah, I'm a fan of the family integrated, man. I really am. I think there's a lot of value there.
I don't think I've ever said this on our podcast before, but I'm pretty agnostic when it comes to this.
Are you pan millennial when it comes to the chill?
Pan ministerial.
Yeah, it's all going to pan out. Somehow, well, that just tells me, Jack, that you hate kids and you're a heretic. That's what that tells me. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Well, there we go. Well, Jack, my friend, we could go on, but why don't we call that a wrap, and why don't you get us out of here, bud?
Yeah, if you appreciate Josh and I and our not only our takes, but how we focused the Reformatory on just making the local church central to the believer's life and having these episodes revolve around a real world thing that'll happen on a Lord's Day or happen throughout the week. And if you want to ask us a question, comment, concern, an episode idea, like some people brought up this episode idea, you can give us a shout out. Give us a direct message on the old sociables, if you will. Yes, right. Those things. The Facebook, the metaverse, if you will. The Instagram. Not only does it maybe go well with heresy, but maybe it's a little chocolate and marshmallow.
It's his best, although I'm
making
off
a little
carbs.
S'more sandwich. S'more gram sandwich on it.
Sounds so good.
And then always the interesting sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. You can find us all at those sociable sites at the tag at Reformatory Pod. And Josh, you could tell the lovely people how they might support us further in our endeavors. Yeah.
Well, there are multiple ways. As we've said, it's a lot better to watch than listen, especially when it comes to the Instagrams. So head on over to YouTube, like, comment, subscribe.
You're doing those little cut clips lately.
Every once in a while, when I have time. Yeah, I really should do it more. I'm horrible at promoting this podcast. So what I'm going to add, we're both horrible at this stuff. And when it comes to what we should be doing for podcasting, we're both really bad at it, right? So I'm going to ask something. I'm going to ask you listeners to help Jack and I out and share the podcast. Tell a friend about the podcast, because the Lord knows Jack and I aren't doing it at all.
We need self-promoting.
Yeah, but if you appreciate a Reformed podcast that actually appreciates and engages in nuance, unless it's canceling your church on Sundays, right? Then share this with a friend. Maybe they'd enjoy it, and maybe they would also be encouraged to make the local church central in their life. And you can head on over, last but not least, to our Patreon. We do have a Patreon. It's $5 a month. That's all it is. And you get bonus episodes. You get this episode early. There's the Reformatory chat on there, and Jack and I are in talks right now on scheduling our early 2026 smoke Zoom sesh with patrons only. It's the time where we're all going to get together and chat and see how each other are doing. Smoking is optional. You don't have to do that if you don't want to, but we do want you to join, but you got to be a patron to do it. For a $5 holla,
That's all it costs. You too could become a Patreon supporter, and our pledge to you if you do so is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of this podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.